Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. Can I read you a scripture? Can I read you a scripture and not really be sure exactly where we're going to go with it? Huh? But I'm just going to tell you as we start today, whatever it is that's been hanging on you, whatever it is that you've been holding on to, whatever it is that's been cumbersome to you, been a problem to you, been a burden to you, today I want you to let it go. Huh? I just want you to let it go. Let it go. Philippians 3:13. I love this whole portion of Scripture, and I'll read 14 with it, but man, I was reading the whole chapter there, and the whole chapter's good, Kenny. I find a verse and I have a thought, and I find a verse, and then I get to reading the whole chapter, and then I have a whole bunch of thoughts, and I go, wow, this whole book's good. Huh? What Greg was saying a while ago, gosh, don't read this unless you want something spectacular to happen in your life. Huh? Don't read this word unless you want the supernatural to happen in your life. Can everybody hear me okay? Everybody hear me? Okay. I sound good? How many ever saw the show Papillon? Papillon? Do you remember the jail cell scenes and the prisoners stick their head out the window and go, how do I look? How do I look? Anyway, if you saw that show, that means something. But how do I look? Let's get on with this thing, man. I'm so good to see you, glad to see you, and glad you're here. Having a heat wave out there. I think it's up to almost 20 now. Glory to God. You'd think the least Nita could have done if she was going to go to Florida was bring some of that heat back with her, you know. But we're glad you're back. Stay back here with the rest of us Eskimos here. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Said, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that. Paul said, forget those things that are behind us and press on forward to those things God has for us. Forget those things that are behind you today and press towards the good things God's got for you. Man, He's got an abundant life laid out for you. He's got blessings on every trail, every step, every way you turn. He's a God that loves you, and He's here to help you and love you and take care of you. And He's got your future already predestined. All we got to do is cooperate and pay attention and not get distracted, not lose our focus. How come we always remember the things that we shouldn't remember and we don't remember the things that we should? Huh? I was sitting with a man last week that's dying, and he talked about how through the night he said, Hank, I just always think about the things that I shouldn't be thinking about. And I said, well, why don't we just start now and let's just start thinking about the goodness of God. Let's just start thinking about all His goodness and all He has for you. Let's just start thinking about the fact you're going to be with Him in a few minutes. You're just going to be with Him in just a little bit. Glory to God. Somebody's going to hear this today. And something different's going to happen in your life today. Somebody's going to hear this and you're going to get the devil so confused that he doesn't know what to do to get you again. Oh, man, remember those things. He said, forget those things behind and press forward. Let's quit wasting all our time thinking about the stuff that's useless and nonsense and that we shouldn't be thinking about. And start thinking about the goodness of God. And if you don't know what that is, won't you spend some time this week in this book? And just ask the Holy Spirit, take me on a little tour here, Holy Spirit. Oh, some things are going to start happening in your life. I'm believing God this year, some things are going to start happening in your life. Huh? Some things are going to start happening in your life. And it's going to cause this church to be such a force. It's going to cause this church to be so lined up with God's will, doing everything He shows us to do. Something's going to happen in your life, and you're never going to be the same again. If you're sitting in the back, it'll roll. It's rolling back there. It'll get back there in a minute. Doug, signal me when it gets back there. You'll feel it. You'll know. We've just ended an old year, and we've got a whole new year ahead of us. You know, this is a time of year where we used to make resolutions. And I want to ask you, how many made a resolution last year and you accomplished that resolution during the year? Is there anybody here that even remembers the resolutions that you made last year? I can't. I got an idea. Instead of resolutions that we never make or never remember, and then let alone we ever keep. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go on a diet this year. I said, well, that's easy. Man, I can go on diets. Man, that's no problem at all. Staying on them is a problem, but I can go on them. Man, I can go on two or three of them a day. Amen. Hey, starting this race isn't hard. Man, I can start every day, but finishing it sometimes is a little difficult, huh? I got an idea. Instead of us making some resolutions this year, let's make some choices. Huh? Let's just make some choices. Let's make some choices for God, some choices for our life. See, let me ask you, what are you pressing for? What are you pressing towards? Say, well, I don't know what I'm pressing towards. You'll probably get there. I don't know what I'm trying to, I just don't know which way I'm going. Don't worry, you'll get there. I don't know what I'm trying to get. Well, don't worry, you'll get it. You'll get what you're aiming after. You'll get what choices you make. A choice is an interesting thing. A choice puts in motion the action to bring the desired result back to you. Huh? See, you make a choice. When you make a choice, you don't get derailed as easy. Not just when you have a good idea. I have a lot of good ideas, but I can't remember them very long. But when you make a choice and it puts something in motion. It puts action in motion. You know, I woke up this morning about 5, and it's about 10 or 9 outside, and you know, I thought, boy, this would be a good day to turn the fire up and kick back and stay home. But I made a choice. I said, you know, this is the day the Lord's made. And I'm going to go to His house, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. And when I made that choice, nothing else, no thoughts came in there about me staying home. I made a choice. Are you with me? I made a choice. And everything I did was moving towards that purpose. I was reading some scriptures. I was thinking of some ideas. I was brushing my teeth. I was taking a shower. I you know, all the stuff. You don't need all the details. But I made a choice, and it put something in motion. I'm believing God this year for some of you to make some choices. I believe some of you will make some choices today. Hey, you're here. You're not here by accident, so you might as well listen to what I'm saying for a few minutes and listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you and follow what He tells you. I love Joshua, man. Joshua is one of my heroes. Joshua 24:15, he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you. Now this is Joshua. He's about to die here. It's towards the end of his life. He's come across the Jordan. He's done all the things that God promised Moses he was going to get to do. He's taken the land. He's walked around Jericho. I mean, the walls fell. He's had all these great victories and all these great things. And this is years later, and he's at the end of his life. And this is how the old boy goes out. I love it. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Whether it's going to be the God of your ancestors that you served beyond the Euphrates, or whether it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living now. But he says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I just have to get myself in the corner every once in a while and just grab myself and say, self, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love Jesus. Huh? I got to minister to 100 to 200 people yesterday, and I got to tell them, and I just said, you know, I was trying to get them saved, you know, and I just said, hey, because if you're not here, hey, matter of fact, if you're here today and you're not saved, that's why I came today. Huh? So if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, right now, why don't you make a choice that'll turn your whole life the right direction? And I know there's somebody here. And even the people sitting by you think you're saved, but inside you know you're not saved. Right now, just say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I want to live for you. I need your help. Save me. If you said that minute, then something began to happen inside. Matter of fact, if you said that and you meant it, I want you to come down when we have the altar call here at the end of the service. I want you to come down and let us pray with you. We have a little book we'll give you, I think, that tells you, helps you get in the Bible and stuff. But, oh, don't miss the greatest choice you'll ever make. What are you pressing for? Oh, Joshua, I like what he said. I thought, well, God, what would that sound like here? In my life, what would that sound like, what Joshua said to those people? And this thought came to me, choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve all those thoughts? Are you going to follow all those thoughts? Are you going to pay attention to all those things that are going to lead you further away from me, or that are going to stifle you from being all you can for me? Or are you going to serve me? He got my attention. See, a God is anything that distracts you from Him. Anything. See, some of you have made gods out of your sickness. Some of you made gods out of your circumstances. Some of you have made gods out of your trials and your tribulations. And that's all you want to think about, and that's all you want to concentrate on. And you don't ever spend any time concentrating on Him, because you're too busy concentrating on everything the devil's done in your life. God, there's not going to be any other gods before me. I'm going to serve you. Huh? Well, I don't know. What are you pressing towards? I got to hasten on here. What are you pressing towards? What are you pushing for? You see, we get cold so fast. We get distracted so easy. I mean, hold on. We're serving the God of this universe. His Son came down here and defeated everything the enemy does on this earth. He defeated it in his own flesh. He did that for us. And then he went to hell, and every demon and every foul spirit that was there tried to hold him down, and they couldn't hold him down, and he bruised the devil's head for me, for you. Man. And we get cold so fast. I said we, I didn't say you. We just lose our focus so easy. Man, you just don't know what the devil's doing to me. You know, I do. But I'm hoping today to get you a little bit of victory. Amen. He's not going to stop doing it, so why don't you just get victory over him? He's not going to quit trying. He's going around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. What did Peter say? But don't think it's some strange thing when all this stuff happens to you, all these trials and tribulations. Don't think it's some strange thing. I love what Paul said. All this stuff is just a light affliction. And he said, man, it's just making me stronger. It's just making me tougher. It's just perfecting me for the glory in the Lord I'm receiving and going to receive. Well, is it okay if I get off script a little bit here today? Because God knows what you need. See, you need to make a decision. You just need to make a choice. A choice. A choice what you're going to do, where you're going to go. Let me ask you something. Are you going to make this year count? Are you going to get to the end of this year and feel the way you feel now? Yeah, it is pretty good where two of us will agree. Are you going to take some ground this year? Are you going to make it count? Are you going to make some headway in your life? Or are you going to stay the same? Say, well, I haven't decided yet. You'll stay the same. That's the point. Are you going to just coast? See, some of us that have gotten saved and we've had the power of God in our life and we've seen miraculous things happening and we've done some fairly good things for Him. If we're not careful, we just coast. You know how many Christians I see that are just coasting? Well, Jesus is going to come back soon. I'm just waiting for Him to come back. I wish I would have, and I know I should have, and oh, if I only could have. Got to make a choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I just coast. You know, I like to, when I'm on the highway driving, I like to put cruise control on. Anybody like cruise control? You know why I like cruise control? Because it's comfortable. And man, I can relax. And my foot and leg don't get tired. And I can just relax. And I can just coast down the highway. But you know what I discovered? When traffic's real thick and real heavy, I don't need to be on cruise control because I'm not paying attention as much. And if I'm on cruise control, I'm not paying attention to all this that's going on. And so I need to take it off cruise where I got my foot on the gas and my foot on the brake and I can tell and I can see and I'm more in touch. Pretty good illustration for spiritual condition, isn't it? Well, maybe it's time for you to make a decision to press. Maybe it's time for you to make a decision to let the past go and press towards the future. Anybody have any disappointments last year? Anybody have any heartbreaks last year? Anybody have any trials and tribulations? Let's just sum it all up in one last year. Well, now, you're going to spend the first 6 months of this year thinking about that? Or you're going to be thinking about God's goodness? And man, you might have got me last year, but you ain't getting me that way this year. What happens if he gets you? Well, you might have got me this time, but I learned something this time. You're not going to get me as easy next time. Oh, man. Maybe it's time for some fresh commitments, some fresh decisions. Paul told Timothy, said, stir that thing up in you. What? Stir that up living for God in you. Stir that up his word being alive in you. Stir those gifts and callings that he's put inside of you. Stir them up, Timothy. I read that the other day, but I was saying, stir them up, Hank. Stir them up. Quit walking into places and feeling like you're inferior and you're defeated. No, hold it, man. I have the anointing of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. I walk in his favor. If I walk someplace, anything good that's there to happen is probably going to happen to me because I walk in his favor. You say, well, yeah, Hank, but that's good because you're the pastor. That's not because I'm the pastor. That happens because Jesus gave his life and defeated the devil and made it all possible for us. And then he rose from the dead. And Paul said, I just want you to know that same power that raised Jesus from the dead and put the devil under his feet, that same power is in you. Boy, I have to slow down or I'll need some of that power. I'll read you another verse out of Hebrews 12. Before I do, I told you, Chris, I'd do this, but I take authority over deaf spirits. Who in here's having trouble with your hearing? Maybe your hearing's... I don't care if you've already gotten a hearing aid. Who in here is having trouble with your hearing? Now, if you had to look at the person next to you and say, what'd he say? Then that's you. If you've been having trouble with your hearing, just stand up right where you are. Just stand up. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not even going to send anybody to you. You've been having trouble with your hearing, God's going to do something for you right now. I don't care if you already got a hearing aid. I don't care what it is. We take authority over those deaf spirits. I speak the stripes of Jesus into this place and into you, and I speak to your hearing. I say from this moment on, we'll all hear better. It'll get better and better, and God will give you the praise. And a matter of fact, we're just going to start praising you right now. Right now. I refuse to tell anybody ever again what I can't hear you. Instead, just say, okay, you can sit down. If you receive that, you can sit down. If you don't receive it, stand up until you receive it. What? I can't hear, huh? I can't hear you. I refuse to say that anymore. And I know I'm going to slip and say it, but every time I do, I'm going to repent. I'm going to say it a little louder because I love to hear it. Huh? Now, that was just commercial because some of you have fallen asleep. And some of you needed your hearing, and from this time on, your hearing's going to progressively... Somebody, it's going to happen real fast, but for most, it's going to progressively get better and better day by day, day by day. And some of you that have been thinking about getting deaf, change your mind. Change your mind. Do it right now. It's easier to do it right now than it is after it starts. Do it right now. Say, no. You made my ears and you made them to hear, and bless God they hear. They might be big and they might be Dumbo ears and they might be ugly, but you made them to hear. Oh yeah, I like to see you laugh. I like to see you smile. Whenever the enemy's after you, if you just smile and just laugh, it confuses him. He doesn't know what to do. He can't read your mind. He just throws those darts out and sees if you'll respond. And we just respond. Wouldn't you just laugh and just smile? He goes, maybe we better try something else. That didn't work. Well, that was all free. Hebrews 12:1 says this. I got it written down there, but I'm going to read it out of the book, because I think I'll read two also. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay every weight aside and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he's the one who because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame of it. And he sat down now at the right hand of the Father, sat down at the throne of God. Wow, what a Savior. Run the race. Lay every weight aside. Let me ask you, what's weighting you down? What's weighting you down? What's holding you back? I had a picture and I was going to do it, but maybe I will sometime. I'll wait till y'all forget about this illustration. But I was going to get a bunch of suitcases and I was going to be trying to come out from behind there carrying all these suitcases and have too many I could have to and then get down here and try to preach with all these suitcases and try to hold all this baggage. And we're trying to operate with baggage we shouldn't be carrying. Jesus said, cast all your baggage on me. Now, he used the word care, but he said, cast all your baggage on me. Amen. Huh? Because I care for you. I care about you. What baggage are you carrying? This doesn't have to be too complicated. Baggage, I had this thought and I wrote it down. Baggage is anything in your past that keeps you from living and enjoying your future. Did you hear that? Now, I'm sure I might have heard somebody say that, but for the time being, I'm just going to think that was my ingenious idea. How about that? But let me just read it again, because I believe it's a message from the Holy Spirit. It says, baggage is anything in your past that keeps you from living and enjoying your future. Amen. And Jesus said, I came so you could have life, and life more abundantly. Before that, he said, the thief's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm here for you to have some abundant life. How many's ready for some abundant life? Quit waiting for it and make a choice today. You're going to live in it. Baggage, weight, things that dominate our life. Things that keep us thinking about them and all those things. We think about all those things instead of the goodness of God. Baggage is anything that gets in the way of you receiving, anything in the way of get you to pray for, that gets in the way of you praising Him and focusing on His goodness and all the good He has for you. Ephesians said we were created. He created us and He designed us to walk in all the good things He had for us that He had been making and doing since before the earth was ever made. We can't get that in our minds and in our spirits. But we're going to this year. Somebody's going to. And if I can just get one or two of you to do it, we'll set this whole town, this whole area on its ear for Jesus. See, if we quit, are you going to focus? You got to make a choice. Are you going to focus on all the things the enemy's doing in your life? Or are you going to focus on what God's got for you? See, you don't have to make anything happen. You don't have to, and you won't change overnight. You won't get that old frown off your face overnight. It takes practice, and it takes work, and it takes decision. You got to smile. Everybody smile. Smile, come on, everybody smile. Look around you. If anybody's not smiling, point at them. Smile. Boy, for some of you, that's pretty hard. You know why? Because you're not used to it. But when you get used to it, it just comes automatically. Even when the bad stuff happens, even when the trials are there and the tribulations are there, you just smile anyway. You can't do nothing about it, so you might as well smile. Huh? I believe by His stripes I'm healed, but if the enemy gets one in on me and I'm sick, I can't do nothing about that except just keep believing God and I'm just going to smile. Man, lay that weight aside. What's your baggage? What baggage are you carrying? You know, some of us are carrying baggage way back from our childhood. Huh? And see, this isn't an easy fix. I'm not trying to put a Band-Aid on something, but I'm saying it starts with a choice. Are you going to let the fact that somebody molested you when you were a little kid, are you going to let that keep dominating your life? Say, no, I make a choice. Does it still hurt? Yes, it still hurts. Is the memory still there? Yes, it is still there. But I make a choice. I'm not letting that baggage hold me down anymore. This is a lot better than you even know yet. I'm not letting that baggage of that relationship, that past relationship, I'm not letting that baggage hold me back anymore. Yes, I went through the divorce, but I'm not letting that hurt and that pain hold me back anymore. I make a choice. God, I choose to think about You. I choose to think about Your goodness. Now, we'll probably go into some of these things in a little more detail, a little more, you know, a little more depth. But you gotta, it starts with a choice. Starts with a choice. Doug, how many people do you counsel with every week? Every week, and they come back and you still have to counsel the same things and you have to keep saying the same things and Zach and Lisa, you do the same thing, and Chris, you do the same thing, and if somebody just make a choice, things in their whole life would begin to change. Make a choice and make a good choice and make a healthy choice. Can I change that? No, I can't change it. It's back there though. So I'm going to forget those things that are behind, and I'm going to press forward to those things that are ahead. It is pretty good. Past failures. I want to see the one in here that hadn't failed. Come on, who are you? Man, failure isn't bad. It just shows you what not to do the next time. Huh? Edison was inventing the light bulb, and it says he tried 1,000 times. I've heard 1,000 or 10,000. To be on the safe side, I say 1,000. It's probably 10,000. But he said, well, Mr. Edison, when he finally said, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just found 1,000 ways it wouldn't work. Have you found some ways that life doesn't work? Then won't you quit doing them? Huh? Won't you make a choice? Got some regrets? Huh? Hey, we've all got regrets. We've all got missed opportunities. You know, we've all failed and fallen short. But Jesus didn't. And that's the good thing about it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's in your past. Jesus has made your future for you. Baggage, missed opportunity, wrong decisions, worry, fear. Well, I don't fear, but I worry a lot. Hold it, that's fear. You know, and some people aren't even bold enough to call stuff what it is. I mean, I talk to people and I start trying to say something to help them and they go, well, I'm all right. My faith is up. I go, yeah, I can tell by looking at you. You're all right. Raise up in there. Don't you think anything's wrong with me? That's because we've been taught to cover it up and keep it in and hold it in there. And when you do that, it poisons you. It causes you to be sick. It causes you all kinds of pain emotionally and physically. It messes up your life. It causes you. Joyce Meyer said, hurting people hurt people. It causes you. It causes you to hurt everyone around you. Baggage. See, some of you got some baggage, and you're even putting this baggage on your kids. You're putting it on your mates. I'm talking to somebody, probably a lot more than just a somebody. You can't find a mate to live with, because every time you find a mate, you try to punish them for all the baggage you got from the last person you was with. Husbands, wives, quit trying to change your husband or wife. You got their baggage, so learn what to do with it. And the best thing to do with it is lay it down. Lay every weight aside. Lay everything that stops you from focusing on God and what He's got for you. Lay it aside. Well, this is a little better than I thought it was going to be. So if you don't mind, I'll just enjoy it with you. If we're gonna move forward with God, we gotta lay that stuff down. Worry? What are you worried about? Let me tell you, has anybody ever worried about something and the fact that you worried about it changed it? No. Matter of fact, the stuff you were worrying about this year last time, you don't even remember, because you got a whole new batch of stuff you're worrying about now. And most of the stuff you were worried about last year this time never came to pass. It just caused you to be miserable. You know what miserable people do? They make everybody around them miserable. I just don't know why nobody loves me. Nobody ever says nothing nice to me. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but are you getting the picture? Because see, even if you never did it to that extreme, you felt like you did inside. Oh, we got to have an interesting year and a good year. Holy Spirit's going to do some stuff. Everybody in here just say, if you got any guts, say it. Holy Spirit, I'm a mess. Would you fix me? See, now some of you couldn't say that, but I'll give you one more chance. This is the last chance I'm giving you. Nothing wrong with me. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I'm a mess. Fix me. Ooh, you in for a good year. Worry, fear. What did Job say? We talk about Job's problems. If you read Job's story in the beginning there, it says that he said that he made a statement, the things that I so greatly feared have come upon me. Fear opens the door for the devil, because it's the opposite of faith. Faith doesn't fear, because there's no fear in love, and God's perfect love. And so, hallelujah, I serve a God that loves me, so I don't have nothing to fear about. He's on my side. He's with me. He's for me. He loves me. Glory to God. I don't have to worry about nothing. But I still do. And so do you. But, Holy Spirit, fix us. Fix me. Oh, if you just start coming clean with the Lord, you're just getting honest with yourself. You're not telling Him anything He doesn't know. You're just getting honest with yourself. And I'll carry one more big old heavy suitcase before I wrap this up here. But unforgiveness. And we're going to spend a whole 45 minutes on that one of these days soon. So I'm just doing this ahead of time so you can start working on it. So by the time we talk about it, you're not going, and you shouldn't do that anyway when something's happening and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about that. You should go, yeah, You're right. You're right. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Now I can forgive you if you haven't been too ugly with me. I mean, if you, if you didn't really say it to my face. But boy, when you just come up and go, I have a hard time forgiving. I know none of you do. But you know what I've learned? Forgiveness isn't necessarily an act. Forgiveness is a choice. I learned that at a dark, dark time in my life. The hardest time in my life I ever had. And most of you know the story, but hey, I've learned it, that when that's there, I say, God, I don't know. God, I don't even want to forgive him. God, I don't want to. I don't know how to. I would like to go and punch him in the mouth. You never felt that way, I know. And I would have said her, but I didn't want you to think I ever would think about hitting a lady, because I wouldn't, and you shouldn't either, whoever that was for. I don't think I ever feel like forgiven. I just learned that I make a choice to forgive. I make a choice to forgive. Yep. Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do this, but I choose to forgive them. I choose to not. Because I heard Joyce say it. I've heard a lot of others say it since, and probably a lot before. But holding on to unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting you to die. Yep. Don't you see? The unforgiveness isn't doing anything but hurting you. It's hindering your relationship with God. It's hindering, well, if I don't forgive, will I go to hell? Well, not if you got Jesus as your Lord. Come on, let's get right with all this stuff. But you'll sure live like hell while you're here. You'll be miserable as hell while you're here. Everything in your life will fall apart while you're here. You'll be agitated about everything. And besides that, you'll die quicker. Because it'll put a stress and a stuff on your heart and on your body that your body's not made to carry. Truth is, folks, we're not made to carry all this baggage. Disappointment is something that happens when your plans are stopped and by something or someone, and you have no control over it. Disappointment when somebody does something to you, or something unexpected happens, or even we get disappointed with God when we're believing something and it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen the way we thought it should happen. Baggage. We all have regrets. We all have this stuff, but listen, I'm just trying to say, we've all done things we wish we would have done differently. But you didn't. So it is what it is. I can't do nothing about it. So don't go revisit it. Huh? I wish that 10 years ago or 13 years ago, I thought I knew how to be a pastor, but I've only learned how to be a pastor in the last several years. And I thought, I wish I would have done this back then, right? I can't revisit that. I can't live that, but I can press towards the future. I can look to the future. And I can help everybody, and I can make new commitments to the Lord. So baggage. Baggage starts with a choice. God said in Deuteronomy 30, He said, I set before you life and death. Blessings and cursings. Life and death. He said, choose life. Choose life. You know what you ought to do next time somebody does something or something happens? Don't say it to the person, but just go get somewhere by yourself and tell the devil, I'm sorry, devil, but you're not going to poo-poo on my parade. Oh, quit being so religious, and maybe the Holy Spirit can do something in your life. You're not going to rain on my parade anymore. You're not the MC here. The Holy Spirit's the MC. He has the last word. He has the final say. And I'm just going to say, it's time. This is what I'm doing. But it's time to make a choice. It's time to make some choices for the Lord. It's time to get back and recommit to Him and what He wants done. You want everything in your life to straighten up? You want everything in your life to start working the right way? To start going the right direction? Then seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We just don't want to say that anymore because we don't want to step on anybody's toes. And I don't want to make you mad because I don't want you to quit giving or I don't want you to leave the church. Hold it, man. It's just time. But you know, Moses drew a line one time in the sand and said, whoever's on the Lord's side, step over here. I tell you what, I'm stepping over here. It's just time for some new commitment. Huh, it's time for you to commit your life to God. It's time for me to commit my life to God. So, well, I'm committed. Well, okay, there we go again. You know. Anybody that's really committed doesn't mind hearing about these messages. And like most of us, would go, yeah, I need to commit better. I need to commit more. See, I'm not saying don't beat yourself up. We all have done stuff we wish we wouldn't have done. And I heard this somewhere, but absolutely nobody gets everything they want all the time. So face it. If you get it, big deal. If you don't get it, big deal. I'm pressing towards the mark. My eyes on Jesus. My eyes on eternity. I'm going to be with Him forever. If you don't know what that is, start read the end of Revelation and get a little capsized view of it, man. It's going to be great. So when I'm looking to this stuff here, yes, I expect this stuff here to start happening and start working. But if all my focus is on here, see, it's like all my focus is on Christmas. Well, man, everything's on Christmas. Well, after Christmas, we're pretty blue. We're pretty discouraged because Christmas is over. Now what do we do? I'm focusing on vacation. And then that's great, but then you're sitting down on a beach and you're going, well, what was I going to do on vacation? Then by the time it's over, you say, man, I'll just be glad to get back home, get back in the groove, get my head back in the game. No, you got to look down way further down the road than that. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. I'm got 1,000 years from now, I'm still going to be here, Kenny. I'm going to be doing something with God. I'm still going to be alive. I'm going to be, man, something. We're going to have new heavens and new earth. Now, I don't know what's happening. He might give me a planet and say, hey, go take care of that one, Hank. Well, it's just time. Folks, and I'm just going to say it's time. It's time to get committed to God's work and to God's church. Amen. If you're part of this church, it's time to get committed to this church. Amen. It's not because of its name or because Hank's the pastor, but get committed to God. What do you want for this church? What do you want for this? You remember this? This is the list. It's time for some of us to remember to be praying for the church every day. Amen. Huh? I'm still carrying it. I'm still praying for you every day. I have to remind myself every once in a while. I have to remind myself. Well, now if you're, you know, what happens when you talk about this stuff, the people that are doing stuff just end up doing more. And anybody that's not doing anything, they just end up getting mad. Well, I'll just go somewhere where they preach the word. Some of us couldn't handle the word if it snuck up on us and bit us. Some of us, you know. It's time to get committed, folks. Hey, it's time for some of you to step up in this church, and some of you to step up and say, hey, listen, and get into the structure of this church. We got deacon election coming up. It's time for some of you to step up and get involved in that. Now, everybody's not supposed to be a deacon, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's time for some of us to step up and get involved in our children's churches. Some of us to step up, get involved in our youth ministry. You know what makes a great church? A pastor that preaches the word. No, you know what makes a good church? People. You know what makes this church great? You. And I'm going to say something else. Everything God has for us to do today, we have the ability to do it. Amen. And it's inside of you. Amen. It's just time to step up. Charles shouldn't have to run around and beg people to help take the offering. Some of you guys ought to show up. Now he's a little old school, so he wants you to wear a jacket, you know. And hey, that's all right. Russell's got his jacket on. He wears it now, you know. And man, Bruce shouldn't have to come and say, oh, would you please help us with children's church? You know, he probably won't do that, but he shouldn't have to. Because you have gifts and abilities inside of you. Amen. And God wants to develop those things. It's time for some of you to step up and start paying attention to me and how to be a pastor. It's time for some of you to step up and begin to focus on how to do that. And you know, hey, it shouldn't be that if Hank isn't here, well, we don't want to stay. Hank's not here. Hold it, man. We got some of you got some abilities in you. You got gifts in you. You know, most of my problems stem from me thinking more about me than anything else. You know, so I put myself in that thing because, you know, I'm pretty perfect and that really wasn't me. You know, you really knew I was talking about you, but I put me in there, you know. And no, we're all works in progress. We're all a mess. Holy Spirit, I'm a mess. Fix me. Amen. I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I make a choice today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Well, no need to look down at that anymore because I hadn't been on it for a while, but we're done. But it's time. It's time, folks. It's time. Hold it. You know, it's just time to make some choices, folks. Don't you wish you'd have stayed home today since it was cold? Because see, this message isn't for anybody that didn't hear. This message is for all of us that are here. And I guess that's why I got off script, because the message was for me too. I'm ready to make some choices. How about you? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to convince me. I'm not God. But it'd be good if you told Him. If you told Him, you know what will make this church great? You know what will make this church be able to do great works and great and mighty things? You. Amen. An example is woven. Ladies came with that idea of woven, and I thought, okay, go ahead. Look at it, man. It's shaking the area. Every summer it shakes the area. Amen. You can make a difference. You just need to make a choice. Well, anyway, everybody stand. Let's quit. I'll just keep starting over again. Are you ready? Are you ready to lay the past down? Huh? Are you ready to lay all that stuff down? Get rid of all that baggage. Forget looking behind. And start looking forward. I said this before, but there's a reason why your rearview mirror is real small and your windshield's real big. I saw a show, that, and I can't remember, I've been trying to remember what it was, but they were driving, it might have been James Bond or something, but they were driving in reverse, and they were going about 80 miles an hour in reverse, and then it was working, but I'm telling you what, in real life, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. I hope everybody that's here today, you'd just say, you know, God, I can't do anything about yesterday, but if you'll help me, if you'll lead me and guide me, I can do something about today, and I can let today affect my tomorrow, and I can do something. I can. You know, I just look forward to the day when I stand before Him, and He looks at me and says, "Hank, you did a good job." If you're hung up on King James, He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's okay. That's okay. But I'm not hung up on it. I just want to say, Hank, you did good. Well, let's sing a song. I'm never going to shut up, evidently. If you got anything you need to come down for, maybe you just want to come down and pray and make some commitments. Maybe you want to do it right where you are. Just make some choices. You just maybe, you know, whatever it is, you know, just take a minute here. I know I went to 12 and I wasn't supposed to, but just take a minute here. And just say, God, all this other stuff I've been thinking about, I want to give that to You. And if you have to, just shut your eyes and see yourself just handing all that worry and all that care. Why don't you hand your businesses to Him and just say, here, I've done this before, God, but I just give You this. And because all these things are kind of creeping up on me, so I just give it to You again, and I put You first, and I believe You to make it all work for me. You see, He wants to make everything in your life work. He wants to make everything in your life work. He loves you. He loves you. Get that through your head. He loves you. And then when it gets in your heart, your whole life will change. Your whole life will change. Isn't He good? If you need to come for anything, if you prayed that prayer at the beginning and you want to come, we'd like to pray with you. If you don't know for sure you're saved, you come down. We want to pray with you. But I want God's goodness for you. I want Him to be big in your life. I believe that's what's going to happen for you this year. If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you. Is that a good enough invitation? Did we forget anything? Everybody say, I'm blessed. Say, God, You're good. Come on, everybody say it. God, You're good. You love me. You gave everything for me. And I'm going to make some choices for You. I'm going to make some commitments for You. Woo! Isn't He good? Give Him some praise. We're done. You got anything you'd like us to pray with you about, you come on down here. But tell somebody around you, you love them. Shake their neck, hug their hand, or hug their neck and shake their hand. I don't know. The other might work. It might work better. I don't know. Hug their hand and shake their neck. Hey, I love you, and I speak His blessings on you, and I believe Him to touch you this week in every area of your life. Thank You, Jesus.
Turning back, the cross before.